I would come back to that school and I would literally peek my head around the corner to see how many students would be waiting for me in the office that I had to deal with behaviors. Because when I looked there, it, you know, just was overwhelming. So again, we needed to do that. So what could we do? Well, we put this RTI model together and in essence, we developed a behavior support. And that team consisted of key individuals and we would meet regularly and we would talk about what behaviors we were seeing, what students needed some extra resources, what classrooms needed some extra resources, what times of day, could be recess, could be the cafeteria, and then we would actually dedicate resources to that. And after doing that for a little over a year, we were tracking data, we realized that our suspensions decreased by 60%+ and our citations, our referrals went down by almost the same, between 50% and 60%.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to 2026, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Rob Effa. Rob is the superintendent and principal at North Cow Creek Elementary School District, and that's in Palo Cedro, California. And I hope I got it all right, Rob.
It's all correct. Good job.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the podcast. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your role and what's happening at North Cow Creek.
Well, North Cow Creek is a single school district in Northern California, Shasta County. We have a bunch of small school districts, and there's pros and cons to small school districts. I was just talking to somebody with a small school district. We can get things done quickly, but we also have limited resources. So our school is currently 280 students, TK through eighth grade, and I am the solo administrator in the school and the school district. So I get to do all the district stuff that all the big districts do, but I also get to run a school. So it does keep me busy, but it's
this
nice.
This, right?
Lots of hats.
Yeah. Awesome. But it sounds like you have some really great stuff going on there. So tell us a little bit about your passions and what you guys are doing.
Yeah. This is my second school district as a superintendent principal. And prior to that, I was a principal at an elementary school in a bigger district. And as experience goes, you take things with you that work and you just roll them into it. So this is the third district that I've implemented a behavior support system that I think has really benefited the students, the staff, and even the parents, because it really does allow our students to focus on learning. And so we're really excited to do that. And I've done it in all kinds of different schools, low socioeconomic, higher socioeconomic, well-attended, not so well-attended schools. And it just is a situation that works in any district, at least that I've implied it. All three in the last district I've been, we've done it, and it seems to have worked out well.
So can you give us some highlights of what your system is? I don't expect you to spend, you know, the whole time talking about everything, but I'd love to hear what makes it special.
Sure. And I'll go back to the history. So we have to rewind three districts ago.
Okay.
And again, I was a principal of an elementary school. It was also TK through fifth grade, about the same enrollment, 250 students. But we had a lot of behavior challenges. And this is probably 10, 12 years ago in the past. And I remember going to a county office of education meeting, and there was a presenter there, and she says, "Hey, I'm actually learning this new thing about trauma-informed instruction." And this was when that was the big hot topic.
The big buzz, yeah.
Just
the buzz
getting started. Yeah. And she's like, "I'm looking for somebody who'd be willing to work with me to roll this out." And so based on what I had seen from my school, we can try whatever we can try. I said, "I'm there. What can
Can't
we
raise
do?"
My hand, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we together trained our staff in trauma-informed practices and put together this idea of how we can work with students, because we experience it all the time, right? Students come in at different levels, ready to learn because of things that are happening in their environment. And it just rolls onto school. So we tried to figure out a way to do that. And we were in essence crying for help. And this was one way to try that. So we implemented that at our school. It also turns out that we were a PLC school district, Professional Learning Committee, Community School District. And we did some training as well. And one of the best trainings I ever went to was an RTI training through Solution Tree. And I took my leadership team And we realized we needed to do some changes with our RTI model, our response to intervention model. And we put that together, both with behavior supports, and we put a plan together that we thought could work for us. And this was all new creative stuff. We just knew we needed to do something different. And so the leadership team was a great team. We got together, we realized the need, and we put together a solution. And I will say, probably the enlightening component of that training was their RTI pyramid that they presented to us. And it was an upside down pyramid. And it talked about it, your tier ones, your tier twos, and your tier three supports. But what was enlightening about it was they didn't just talk about academics. We're so used to talking about intervention for academics. But what was brought to our attention is students aren't going to be ready to learn until they have all the other basics, right?
Yeah.
They need to be in attendance. They have to behave. They have to have their learning minds ready to go. And that was what was the eye-opening component. So we took that together. We built this RTI, which had three components to it, obviously academics. It also had attendance interventions, get the kids to school. And then what was really important to us was the behavior component. How are we going to change this behavior that we were overwhelmed with? I remember going to district office meetings. I would come back to that school and I would literally peek my head around the corner to see how many students would be waiting for me in the office that I had to deal with behaviors, because when I was there, it, you know, just was overwhelming. So again, we needed to do that. So what could we do? Well, we put this RTI model together, and in essence, we developed a behavior support team. And that team consisted of key individuals, and we would meet regularly, and we would talk about what behaviors we were seeing, what students needed some extra resources, what classrooms needed some extra resources, what times of day, could be recess, could be the cafeteria, and then we would actually dedicate resources to that. And after doing that for a little over a year, and we were tracking data, we realized that our suspensions decreased by 60%+. And our citations, our referrals went down by almost the same, between 50% and 60%. So no longer was I coming back from district office meetings and picking my head around the corner to see how many kids were waiting for me. I could roll into my job and do the other things, being an instructional leader. So that was quite transforming. I left that district because I was promoted from a principal to a superintendent principal. And I said, hey, it worked at my other districts. Why don't we try it here?
Right.
A little different. The socioeconomic wasn't quite as challenging, but guess what? The behaviors were just as challenging. And that happened to be COVID time. So we deal with that. And it worked well. And now I'm at my third district, which we actually have pretty good behavior, but I brought this in as well. And it's been great because it's just actually allowed me to be an instructional leader and I don't have to spend all my time on behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's been very transformational and it's worked throughout. I can attest to three different districts and three different scenarios, and it's been very productive.
Well, and it sounds like you're taking a very proactive model or, you know, stance, or I don't know what the right word is. I'm struggling with the right word, but just moving forward and looking at everything that's happening and ways to, obviously we've gotten better over the years at dealing with interventions and behaviors and all of that, but just moving like, okay, here's the issues. Let's head it off at the pass, right? Cut it off before it happens and give the, and I'm sure not only are you seeing less behaviors, but you're probably also seeing improvements in other areas as well.
Yeah. In essence, it's a little bit like the academic model, right? It's data-driven instruction. You identify students that need some extra support, and then you dedicate that support to them. So we did the same situation in behavior. We had to put together a team, and that was probably the critical part. The other enlightening thing, and you got to rewind a little bit, because at least in California, this was when we were starting the whole local control accountability plans. And so we had been given funds to figure out how to locally use them. And so I remember my superintendent talked to all of us principals and says, how would you guys like to see some of these funds used? And I raised my hand and I said, can we dedicate money to a dedicated paraprofessional whose sole focus is going to be working with students and behavior. That was transformational, right? Because we had our classroom aides and we had our playground aides, and that was great. But again, we identified a need of how we could dedicate resources. So my superintendent said, that sounds like a good idea. He allocated funds to all the elementary schools. We did interviews, and everybody wanted my person because the one thing is I developed that person from within, right? He was actually our PE techs. And we call him Coach because he was also a coach, a basketball coach. He just had that work with students. And so we had to do interviews and everybody wanted him. I said, well, you can't take him from me. Like, let me have him.
Right.
So we developed it, you know, from the ground up and did every training we could when it came to restorative practices and trauma-informed instruction and all the behavior stuff that was out there. And then we just developed this program. And so, again, it was dedicated resources. So this behavior support team, we would meet regularly. At that school, we met for an hour every other week. At my current school, we meet a half an hour every week. But the key is that it is weekly. It is regularly. And we look at information, right? We look at recent referrals. We look at, we have what we call our blue slips, which is the minor stuff that goes on. We take our own observations, we take teacher referrals, and we talk about this. And when I say we, I guess I should identify who my team is.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that very question. Who's on that team? That was, I'm glad you got there because that was definitely where I was going. So great.
Yeah. And that's really important that you have a solid team, right?
Right.
So, and again, you have to adjust it based on the scenario. So if I rewind to the first district I did this in, a little bigger district, a few more resources. And at that district I had, myself, I was the sole administrator there. So I sit on that team. I had my psychologist, I had my school counselor, and I had this newly identified paraprofessional who was going to solely work on behaviors. So that was the team. My current district, even smaller, my psychologist counselor is the same person. In fact, he's only here one day a week. So we only meet on that day.
On the day he's there. Exactly. Yeah.
The day he's there. So, and that team is now me, my behavior specialist, and my psychologist counselor, which is one person. So that's, this team is now three. My initial district, it was four. So depending on the size of your district, the resources you have, that's who's on your team.
I could see a board certified behavior analyst being an ABA person on there would be, if in a bigger district, maybe, I don't know.
In a bigger district with that training. Yeah. But again, in a small district like mine, I don't have those resources.
Right. Of course.
I don't even have the funds to pay for somebody like that. So what am I doing? I'm taking a paraprofessional who is an instructional aide. In fact, we just did this transformation. This is my fourth year at my current district. I inherited a great paraprofessional who had good behaviors, you know, management skills.
Right.
She had that, but she has since moved on. She got married, moved out of town. So now I have a new person who I had to develop, and it was from somebody who was working here before. It's just a normal instructional aide. And I blew the position. I said, you know, I think you'd be really good at this. She goes, really? And I said, yeah. And I have this book that we would read, Roots of Apathy, if that means anything to anybody. And she read it. She's like, I'm in. And so I, in essence, groomed her, trained her from within and developed somebody who, and she's really good at her job. You know, a lot of instincts. She's been doing it for a half a year now. But she is really good at what she does. So it's really important, I think, to even develop from within. And you don't have to have all these big fluting, you know, degrees and trainings.
Right.
I mean, this is a paraprofessional who just started as an instructional aide and has the skills and the willingness to learn new things. And so it's been a great team. Again, currently we meet once a week for a half an hour, and we just look at our data. We look at how many referrals have we had, and we'll track our data. I track it on a daily rate. What is the daily rate of referrals that we have? We use our student information system, and I put it in an Excel document, and then you can sort it. You can sort the behaviors by grades, by location, by time of day. And so we'll simply look at that and say, oh, most of our referrals recently have happened during lunchtime. So what are we going to do? We're going to dedicate our resources. So my paraprofessional, I'd say, make sure you're always out at lunch working with the students, or maybe it's a particular grade level, right? It could be a classroom.
And it's a moving target, right? I mean, that's the point of the every week, is that you don't know what's happening, and behaviors sometimes are because something is happening with that child that wasn't there before.
Exactly. You know, we're coming right off the holidays, right? So you see some interesting behaviors that happen with students going into the holidays. You know, maybe they're not so excited about what they have facing with them at home for the next couple of weeks. They're going to lose that stability that they have at school. And so some of these students show certain signs. And so we are on the lookout for that. And so, again, my staff is trained well to see, identify things and work on it right then and there. But also we can dedicate resources when we see trends happening, right? Oh, we're having issues on the playground. It could be something as simply as the game of soccer, right? All of a sudden it's getting out of hand. Well, let's be proactive and put people out there, do some reminders, check-in, check-outs. Those are critical. The other thing that I think was transformative about this, because again, go back to my very original district and the whole staff was saying, what are we going to do about these increased behaviors? And so this dedicated paraprofessional became the on-call person. And so I told my staff, I said, if you have an issue, obviously you're going to do everything you can within your power, right? If you're the teacher, you're going to use all the bags in your tricks in your bag.
There you go. Yeah.
To figure out how to work with these students. But at some point, let's be honest, it gets above and beyond what you can do as a teacher that's trying to manage 20 to 30 students in a classroom. And so we gave the teachers the ability to call what we call dispatch, right? First responders, and they would call the office, and the office would identify the best person on the behavior support team, which was generally that behavior paraprofessional, to say, hey, you're needed in room 13. And so a person always had a radio on, so easily to contact. And so they'd get the message. They'd go to room 13 and they would assess the situation, right? What does that student need? Do they just need somebody to sit over their shoulder and work with them, kind of a little bit of that one-on-one support to keep them focused on academics? Or are they so disruptive, we need to take them out of the classroom? We dedicated a room itself that was for some wellness, stimulation or anti-stimulation or whatever you want to call it. We'd assess the situation. Sometimes the kid was just hungry. Sometimes the kid was tired. Sometimes the kid just needed to walk a couple laps around the basketball court. And you would just identify what happened. And then we would work with them until they were ready to learn. And as soon as they were ready to learn, they went right back into class. I will be honest, there were a little bit of ruffled feathers with that, because if the student was so disruptive or maybe even disrespectful, sometimes you had staff members that says, well, I'm not ready to have them back. Yeah, but the student's ready to be back to learn.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, I did not track data on this, but I believe with this whole plan, we have increased instructional learning time. You know, I can't say exponentially, but definitely positively, because you are getting that student ready to learn. You're putting them back into a learning situation, but you're also keeping it a positive learning environment by removing disruptions from that time and place. And you are allowed to do that when you have somebody that's dedicated just to that ability to do that.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
So you've got a smaller district. What would your recommendation be for a larger district where, you know, it's like, okay, so I have a team and there's the call comes in, but then there's a call for another classroom, you know, at the exact same time. What would your recommendation be for how you might handle that? I mean, do you have a backup person? What's your thoughts there?
Sure. And that's why we have a team. And there were times when I would get to the point where, again, dispatch. There's a reason why they called the office, because the office was the person who figured out, well, who was the closest or the best person to serve that. The first call would usually go out to our paraprofessional. And if that person was available, all right, he's on it. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Maybe he just got called to room 13 and now room 14 has just 20 minutes later asked for the same support and he's still working with, you know, the student from room 13. So then the next one would go maybe to our counselor.
Okay.
Or it would come to the administrator. So we had three or four people on call at the time.
Okay.
I'll tell you, at my second district, which was the biggest district of them all, we're talking, it was 650 students. And I know this isn't big for a lot.
No, I get it. It's okay. Yeah.
Relatively, for me, it was three times bigger than, you know, the schools that I'm working at. We actually hired a second paraprofessional because the need arose for that. So you just figure out your resources. And again, yes, you're paying a paraprofessional and you have them there a good portion of the day. They're basically working from the first bell to the last bell. But it's a pretty good investment, right? Because you're not investing in like an assistant principal. You're investing in a paraprofessional. So, and then you train them from within. Mm-hmm. So I feel that it's actually very fiscally responsible. It frees up the administrator to do more of their job as an instructional leader. And they're probably getting better dedicated time because let's be honest, if I was the one doing all this discipline, I wouldn't be able to follow up with these students as regularly as a paraprofessional. Because we talk about check-in, check-outs, right? You identify a student who needs it. And then you say, okay, what are the goals we're going to work on? And at the beginning of the day, you say, remember, the three things we're going to work on today is staying in your seat, keeping your hands to yourself, and focusing on your work. At the end of the day, how'd you do? And that paraprofessional has the freedom to do that more so than somebody like me is the only administrator on the site would do.
Yeah, it's time. It's time and it's investment. But it's an investment in those kids too, you know, really. Yeah, which they need.
Down to relationships, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, exactly. They have the ability to develop a relationship with each one of those kids in a way that you've got 250 or 650 or whatever that number is, they can focus on the ones that they know are having problems. And they're going to see that child. And as an SLP, you know, I would have kids come into my room, even in a virtual setting, because I've been a virtual therapist since 2011. And you know those kids. And the second that they would log in, as in a virtual setting and different location, different mindset, different whatever it is, as a therapist or as an educator, the second that you see that child, I mean, my whole plan for that session goes right out the window. What's going on? Because you see it and you know. I mean, you're trained to recognize when something is wrong with that child, and we communicate so many things without saying a word. And so, as a speech therapist, I can go, okay, I'm not a counselor, but there's something happening. Tell me what's going on. You know, as a paraprofessional who's been trained to see those things, you see that in the hallway and you can cut it off before it even becomes an issue because you're addressing it immediately because you know, because you're aware. So I love that. I love that you have people that are dedicated to those kids because they see it and they'll catch it before it even happens sometimes, which is
well, and I've been talking with other people about this, and they say that is kind of the critical component is you are on them right away, right? Mm-hmm. And you're being proactive. You're looking for these kids even before they step foot in the classroom to say, it looks like, you know, Susie might be having some challenges today. And I might talk to that student before they even go into class, right? We might deregulate them before they even step into the classroom. Which is good for the student. It's good for the class. It's good for the environment. And it does work well. But we also have those students that continue to be the deeper challenges because, you know, it's not a one size fits all.
Exactly,
it's not
right.
Like you're going to be able to snap your fingers and fix it right away. And that's what we dedicate those meetings to, because now we've got a student who we've tried all these basic things. And guess what? Maybe one day it works, but it's not working three out of the five.
Consistently, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So now what are we going to do? And that's where our psychologist will come in. That's where I, the administrator, come in and go, okay, what's the next step with this, right? Do we need to do some counseling sessions? Do we need to get the parent in for a meeting? How can I work as the administrator to work with these students? I've got one student that my paraprofessional is working with, and he's what I'll call a reluctant learner, you know, just not really into getting good grades and turning his work in. So she works with him to get organizational skills. But we meet once a week. And when I say we, it's my paraprofessional, it's my student and me. And the student has to bring every week what his grades are, how many missing assignments does he have, what's his behavior in class, and the three of us will talk together. So it's not just my paraprofessional that's trying to do this all on her own. And again, it's still developing relationships. And really what the student needs is somebody to believe in him and show him that he has the potential to do what he can do. And so, and we're struggling with that, I'll be honest with you, but we haven't given up.
Right. And you don't. We as educators don't give up on our kids. We just don't. And I'm sure, too, I'm hopeful that some of these kids are learning that they have somebody that they can come to when they have a problem. They've got somebody that they, that there's always that person in their lives in school, hopefully, that they can go to and say, oh my gosh, I'm having a really, you know, and maybe it's, maybe they can't form that in a way that makes, you know, that, but they can go and say, you know, cry to that person or whatever, you know, just whatever it is that they need, that I can see that being a positive outcome as well, as they've got somebody to go to. Certainly, there's always those people that kids connect to better than others. So awesome. It's fantastic. Well, you guys are doing some amazing work. I love it. I love it. So give us the, like, do you, I know you've been tracking data. Give us a little bit of like the data piece of it. What have you seen? I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but just what are some of your outcomes?
Yeah. And again, I did some really deep data dives at my first district because I really wanted to see if this was something that was working. I have some data now at my current district. We'll track the number of referrals that we get in, on a weekly basis when we meet, and I'll track that. And what I can say about the current district is when I started, this is again my fourth year, we were having about 0.6 referrals per day, right?
Okay.
I track them, right? By per day.
Mm-hmm.
We're now down to 0.35.
And that's over 4 year
trend.
Yeah.
I mean, so that seems to be working. You know, there's the ebbs and flows, but that's the overall tracking of it. If we go back to my original district, when I really tracked the data, I had told you before, our referral rate, when we started tracking it, we had 2.34 referrals per day. You can kind of see the difference in the districts there. And then by the time I left and we were doing it, we were down to 1.14 referrals today.
Nice.
Per day. And then suspensions also, we decreased our suspensions by 65% at my original district.
Nice.
That's pretty significant, right? Right there, that's telling you you've increased your instructional time fairly significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the kids aren't out of class waiting to be disciplined.
Right.
So, that's just the behavior stuff. We also did some attendance and academic support teams, which also showed some great results. Our attendance, I was up to 96% at that school that was very, you know, low when it comes to income. And I was very proud of that. We're almost at 97% at my current district. I'd love to hit that 97% mark because it wasn't long ago that we were, you know, needing all that support because right after COVID, we were at over 10% of our chronic absentees. So now we're down to 3%.
That's nice. Yeah. I know that, that's something that districts really struggled with a lot, right? Coming out of COVID, everybody was like, my kids aren't, I've got to get the kids back in school. How do I get them to come back? How do we get, you know, and they need to be there. We all know they need to be there. So.
And the same model that we use with the behavior support team, we have as an academic support team and an attendance support team.
Right.
So we actually have three teams that are working simultaneously at our school. And it just so happens that my dedicated paraprofessional for behavior, because we've dialed in the behavior, she has a little bit more free time. So now I actually have pulled her onto my attendance support team as well.
Ah, there you go.
Sometimes we go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Rob, Amazing work. Congratulations. Keep it up. The kids win. When schools win, the kids win. So where do people go to find out some more information about you, about your district? I'm sure if someone, someone may have a question for you, would you be willing to have somebody email you or contact you about what you're doing? I want to give you an opportunity to put that information out there.
Yeah. I mean, if this is working for somebody and they'd like to try it out, I'm happy to give information. I actually have a slide deck. I've done presentations before. I've had people call me up and say, how can I make this work in my district? So a simple email. My email is reffa, that's R-E-F-F-A, at North Cow, cow is in Milk Creek, .org. So reffa at northcowcreek.org. That is my work email, and I'll be happy to respond to that. I've done it with other people. And it just so happens I am currently working on my doctorate, and my dissertation is going to be looking at what are the key components of successful behavior support teams. So if there's anybody in that area that has some data or wants to be part of maybe my subjects to look into, I'd be happy to connect with them as well. So
fantastic. That is great. Well, it has been a true pleasure, Rob, to have you on, and best of luck to you. It's so hard getting your doctorate. So I wish you all the best when it comes to that. I know it's a journey for sure. One I never took. Thank you very much. As an SLP, it's like, okay, am I going to do research? Nope, no doctorate. Not interested. But I know it's important, and I've seen so many people, they've taken that journey, and I'm like, wow, good for you. I'm so proud of people that are willing to fight that, slog through that, and get it done. So congratulations on you for that.
Yeah, I just feel it's this is a topic that I think people can benefit from. So share the wealth, so to speak. If I can get some research out there that will help identify those key components, it might be beneficial to somebody like me. I would have loved to see something like that when I was, younger in my career. So.
And I love the fact that, and I've said this before on the show, that educators are so willing to share, administrators are so willing to share. So thank you for that, for being one of those people that, it's like you see a need, and your need and your knowledge is going to affect somebody. You'll never know, because you're going to help somebody who's going to help somebody who's going to help somebody. And, if Lighthouse and Brighter Together is a conduit for that, then I've done my job too, right? So we're all in it together. We're all fighting this battle together. We want this next generation and the kids that we are raising to be a productive part of society. And it's important. It's just really so thank you very much. Thank you for being on Brighter Together, because, ultimately the world is brighter together because we are doing it together. So thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.